This week, we had a guest. Mr. Scout Tafoya came through to talk about Jennifer Lopez and Ice Cube in 1997's Anaconda. Scout, if you don't know him, is an amazing filmmaker, a critic, and a video essayist, and this episode is a blast. It starts off boring, though, because I ask a very boring question. That's not anybody else's fault but my own. But it quickly devolves into bad John Voight impressions, the occasional Anaconda-related dick joke, some deeper film discussions about the films that could have been, which of course causes Anthony to lose the will to live, which is always hilarious and great. We also found a way to sneak a covert Cats podcast, like the film Cats. We talk about that at 55 minutes in, if that's something that you're interested in. Anyway, that's it. Oh yeah, also don't worry, there's tons of rap talk at the end, namely a specific Bad Boy era that I really liked talking about. But I also have to warn you, there's one of the most abhorrent musical choices ever on this show. You have been warned. That's it. Anaconda on Bodega Box Office.
Best snake cam ever.
Oh, best snake cam. Snake cam.
I mean,
ever.
Have you seen a better one?
Ever.
No, you mustn't open the book.
Can you have a snake that's not very long but really wide?
Pan flute, ambience, or Mac 10.
That's right.
A boner would be perfect, baby bird.
You can't.
Can I tell you that there is genuinely nothing less funny on planet Earth than a film critic who thinks he's funny?
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll edit most of this out.
And I say this.
All right, it's Bodega Box Office. You know what it is. Fuck the intro. I'm here.
Episode 101. If you want a primer, listen to an old one.
Yeah, fuck all that noise. I'm here. Anthony's here. And Scout Tafoya is here.
I'm back.
He's back. Three years later. We were trying to figure out how long ago you were actually here.
Has it really been 3 years?
I don't know. That's crazy. Nutty. It's true. Yeah.
It's been at least like two and a half years.
Yeah.
Well, you're here because you're a noted writer, thinker, filmmaker. Director,
polemicist.
You're a polemicist. that's the best thing to be. Actually.
Absolutely,
Rabble video rouser. Essayist.
Absolutely, video essayist.
That's a thing, right? That's
it's like a thing. I'm trying to make it a thing.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
Well, this. I mean, the reason that we're talking about this movie was inspired by one of your video essays.
That's right.
So, what movie did we watch, Scout?
We watched the 1997
seven
classic Anaconda,
and I mean, it was one of the greatest viewing experiences of my life.
Ugh,
I can say that.
One of the greats.
But I want to start just by asking a question, and it's not, is Tiny Zeus Lister in there?
I was ready. I was fucking chomping at the bit.
But I want to know, and this is kind of like the question we ask, we want to figure out with this whole podcast,
sure.
Is what is it about 1997 that necessitated a movie like this starring Ice Cube and Jennifer Lopez? How do we get there? You know, like, I kept thinking that, like, where the fuck did this come from?
Yeah.
And you've obviously done probably a lot more research into this.
I don't know that I've done a lot more research.
Okay.
You're
the Anaconda expert in the room.
That's right.
don't you have a PhD?
It's not what I read on the bathroom wall of the bar we were at earlier, Ryan.
What a weird bar that was.
Yeah. For an Anaconda expert, call Ryan at...
Was this at the Rover?
Can you have a snake that's not very long but really wide? Is that possible? Okay, that's really all it is.
Oh, boy.
Why, Scout?
So, all right, so the best that I've been able to figure is, as with all these things, most movies above that budget that had, like, high concept like that, they were all deals before they were anything else. So somebody goes to whatever the studio was. I want to say this was, what, MGM?
That's a good question. No idea.
Regardless, they go to them and they say, we want to do Jaws but with a snake. And so they get Bill Butler, who photographed Jaws. They hire Randy Edelman to do his best impression of John Williams with, like, a little bit of an edge to him. And then it's just a matter of making sure that you slot enough people into the thing to make it marketable from every single angle. So, you know, it's funny. Ice Cube was hot at the time. He had done Friday.
Yep.
I don't believe he had done Next Friday yet, but he had done Boys in the Hood.
Yep.
That's
a hell of a streak.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Boys in the Hood.
Higher Learning.
Friday.
Higher Learning.
Higher
Trespass.
Learning.
Another great
Glass
one.
Glass Shield? Would that
Glass
have been?
Glass Shield, yeah. That's right. Charles Burnett, 1994.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Fucking amazing movie.
So good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, again, you get somebody for every demographic. You get Jennifer Lopez, who was just on the ascendancy at that point.
She made Selena that same year.
That's right. Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
So she was still, like not huge enough.
Anything for anacondas.
That's right.
Whoa. Whoa, dude. All right. God damn you.
Until I'm useful, that's the only thing I
know.
Can do.
Thank you.
But continue.
Just don't do your senior Wences.
That's why I came here. Yeah. The kids want to hear senior Wences.
That's my ease. That's
they
my video
Jackie
essay.
Gleason.
Senior Wences.
Senior Wences. Ice cube.
Is that right?
Fuck you.
Wow. That's, yeah. Well, for all of our 77-year-old listeners, this episode's for you.
Shout out to Brandon.
What up, Dad?
We're going to be talking about Milton Berle's huge dick soon. speaking of anacondas. So yeah, they got Jennifer Lopez, like, up and coming, like, about to be famous, and she also obviously appeals to a certain cross-section of the American movie-going public. You get Ice Cube, who is, you know, supposed to bring in the urban viewer, you know. Like, I can picture this meeting so clearly in my fucking head.
Yeah.
Because you look at that list, you sent me that beautiful list of everybody who was supposed to be in the movie, and I'm like, there was no way they were going to get Jennifer Aniston to go to the Amazon.
Yeah, which they actually shot in the Amazon.
Yeah, they really fucking went down crazy. There. That's, like, there's so much about this movie that is, like, so admirable on paper that, like, they really went down there, and they really had a big-ass puppet. Like, the CGI is bad when it shows up, but the big-ass puppet is, like, I love that thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Awesome.
I really miss the days of, like, feeling like there was actually a fucking puppet in the water with them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I love that shit. And then, yeah, so you're doing the creature thing because Jurassic Park is huge.
So that's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, Eric Stoltz, hilariously, I love the idea that Michael J. Fox was also considered. I'm sure that that's not true, but I think every time Eric Stoltz is in anything, somebody has to make the joke that Michael J. Fox was in the running because of the fucking Back to the Future thing.
Yep.
And then...
real loser in that situation was fucking Jan from The Office.
That's true.
Who was supposed to play his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
but she was too tall for Michael J. Fox, so they fired her too. That shit sucks.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Do you ever hear the story about they're making Casualties of War and Sean Penn has to blow past Michael J. Fox after their like tribunal and he needs to make him so mad that he tries to punch him, so they're walking past him and Sean Penn says to Michael J. Fox, TV actor. And it makes him so fucking furious that he tries to kill him.
Can Michael J. Fox fight?
No.
Yeah, no, I don't think.
Not now.
When he pushes Biff and... No. Actually, maybe now that he kind of got under control a little bit.
Right.
He does the E-Honda thousand-hand slap.
Jesus.
You set it up, and then you just kind of pushed me.
I like the idea of immediately setting up a joke and then going, ugh, too soon.
Yeah. Back off.
Yeah. I'm still recovering from when I told it.
A movie like that, I think, attracts reference points because... there's so little to it.
Yeah.
There's, you know, it's just they're in the jungle and there's a big snake, and that's the whole thing. And then there's John Voight giving the performance of a lifetime.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Before we get too far down this road,
Absolutely.
I think we need a plot. Anthony, okay. You want to hit us with this plot? Plotting and murdering motherfuckers before they get you.
All right. Jennifer Lopez has assembled a crew of future snake food to make a documentary about a mysterious indigenous Amazonian tribe.
Nice.
Along the way, they meet John Voight, a stranded Paraguayan snake hunter that talks like Christopher Walken's The Continental.
That's amazing. I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about.
On Saturday Night Live, the rapey Christopher Walken point of view.
Oh, is it the Campania guy?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, he won't let anybody leave his apartment.
He's got a periscope in his closet.
Yeah. He was Harvey Weinstein.
He was Harvey Weinstein before Harvey Weinstein. Which is a weird thing for Christopher Walken to do, considering everything we know about him.
Yeah. Has he also been a...
He hasn't been Me Too'd, but he was definitely on the boat when Natalie Wood died.
Yes.
Mm. But he danced his way out of it?
That's right.
It's her watch.
He played Putting on the Ritz and left the courtroom.
Just fucking look at me.
Right.
Forget everything you just saw.
Right.
All right, so the crew attempts to give John Voight a ride down the river, but experiences a series of unfortunate events that pivot the mission from filmmaking to a hunt-or-be-hunted war against the titular character.
Nice.
Right?
Nice tidy plot.
I try.
I mean, it's a 90-minute movie.
I mean, could you imagine if there was 8 plot points and then we stopped for shenanigans between each one.
Oh,
I think this was the perfect 3-point plot.
Was that painful for you?
No, I worry. I'm like, who remembers? Who that's not in this room follows the plot?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it a lot.
Same.
It was,
is the first time I've seen it.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a constant at the Blockbuster and the Hollywood Video. And Yeah, it was also on TV an awful lot.
I saw this in the theaters.
Wow.
Yeah, when it came out.
The ads being great.
Yeah, they really leaned hard on that shot of old boy falling off the waterfall.
Yes.
And yeah, there's like weirdly iconic shots in this movie.
Yeah, there are.
Like, John Voight running up the ladder is one. Jennifer Lopez pulling on that rope.
Yes.
Whatever.
Try to get the boat out of the thing.
And then Ice Cube holding the camera. Or no, and turning around.
Yes.
It's weirdly seared in my memory.
No, it's, well, because again, I think it's photographed very seriously. They made it like it was a real movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just happened to not be.
Well, this is the last of that era where you would make a movie filmed beautifully and have one CGI thing in it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they made this movie now? It would just be a bunch of dickheads all running around on a green screen, and the whole thing would look just like unwatchable shit.
Well, they still make, I mean, like, okay, so they, I'm trying to think. They do the direct to, you know, Oblivion sequels. I was going to say video. None of these fucking things are going to disc.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, they still make Lake Placid movies. I believe they did a movie.
The final Anaconda, I found out, is actually Anaconda versus Lake Placid. Yeah. Starring Cora Nemec, which was my opportunity to pivot the whole podcast into a Parker Lewis Can't Lose podcast.
Oh, shit.
So you both disaster averted.
You've been trying to do that for 100 episodes.
A very ignoble goal.
I also like that it's not fighting, and it's not versus an alligator.
No,
it's
versus
a lake.
Lake Placid. Yeah, exactly. That's
height of the fucking Olympics in, 1985 or
and
whatever.
A river versus a lake is an interesting stalemate.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How do they battle?
Yeah, well, it all ends in an ox bow.
That's right.
I'll see myself. Yeah.
No, an extremely strange that both of those things, which were sort of, they weren't really phenomena at the time. I mean, they were moderately successful, all of them, but they're still making these movies. I watched, when I made the essay on Anaconda in October, I watched because I had vague memories of enjoying Anaconda's Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
Oh, okay. With Morris Chestnut?
Morris Chestnut,
yeah,
yes.
I love him.
Who doesn't make it to the end credits. I was shocked.
That sucks.
I know, right? Poor Morris. He can catch
so
a fucking break.
He's beautiful, too.
I know. He still looks beautiful.
Yeah,
Morris Chestnut hasn't aged a day.
Yeah, I know. He looks amazing. He just got bigger and stronger and better looking.
Yeah. Do you remember when he was the fucking second banana in Under Siege 2?
No, I don't remember that.
Not his finest hour.
Wow.
I don't mind telling you.
Damn.
I know.
What did we just see him in? Higher Learning? Is that what he's in? I don't know.
Could have been. Well, he's in Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, he's in Boys in the Hood.
He gets shot, doesn't he?
But he's Ricky. But we watched some.
He's Ricky.
No, he is in Higher Learning. He's the other track guy.
Yes.
Anyway,
you're right.
Sorry.
The funny thing to me about Ice Cube being the photographer in this is I'm thinking, like, who are they? Who is he supposed to be? And the best I could do is like Ernst Dickerson.
Okay.
That's like the best analog for that guy from L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
On a boat in the Amazon shooting.
Oh, that's
this
interesting.
Yeah, you know, usually when you're making nature documentaries in the Amazon, you're bringing like some obscure Polish photographer or something like that.
Well, there's that whole backstory where him and Jennifer Lopez
they went
to
film
USC.
School. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I like that a lot.
Which was nice. He's not just the help.
No, he's not. And that was that he actually just very recently said on Twitter that the reason he said yes to the movie was because he lived throughout the whole film and he helped destroy the snake. Like, he was a useful part of the plot. I was like, that's good on you, Ice Cube.
He's so much screen time in this.
Yeah.
He is, like,
he has one good line in the entire movie,
very
but
true.
He did get to live through the whole thing and be a hero.
That's right. Yeah.
So I think it's useful that...
Well, it's honestly, and considering, you know, again, the 90s were, like, a huge step forward for so much non-white entertainment. And it's cool to think that this was a...
John Voight playing a guy from Paraguay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Representation. It's so important. Everyone in Paraguay was like...
I feel seen.
That's right.
John,
that's right.
Do you want to try a Paraguayan impression now, right. Anthony?
Buenas noches, beautiful.
Oh, I have a whole new way to order salad. Salad will be perfect.
Salad will be
baby
perfect.
Barf.
Baby bar.
What? What is he doing?
It's so good.
How did he arrive at that fucking accent?
Maybe
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
This was my first John Voight experience ever.
Really?
When I saw Anaconda
you didn't
in the
see any
theater,
of that terrible... when you saw it in the theater.
I didn't know who fucking John Voight was. My dad kept talking about him, and I was like, I don't know who the fuck that is. That guy's amazing.
Yeah. I'm picturing Gary, like, elbowing you in the ribs, being like, this is no Deliverance.
Actually, it's not a million miles away from Deliverance.
Yeah, that's a similar
that's
thing.
Deliverance with a real snake instead of a metaphorical
Tried
one.
To avoid the Anaconda.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's shocking how many movies are...
Cometown. Unbelievable.
Anna Cometown?
I didn't realize it was going to be mostly dick jokes. What the hell? What was I thinking?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you did.
In hindsight, that's on you.
Yeah, yeah, so stupid.
That's true. This is really your fault.
It is my fault. You can't blame me. That's fine. I'll take it all. But yeah, what is he fucking doing?
I'm trying to think how, the reverse engineering that accent, because he's kind of doing, like a weird southern thing for some of it, where he's like, doing this thing where everything's down here. Like, yeah. It's sort of from, Arkansas a little bit, and then he adds, French. Like
a Cajun thing?
Yeah, a little Cajun and a little French and a little Southern and then a little Spanish.
Yeah, and then there's sometimes where it's just Tony Montana, which I like. I think that was kind of the archetype for you're going to do an accent in a movie.
Exactly.
You got to watch
Scarface.
You
have to beat Scarface.
Yeah, exactly.
Not only do you do Scarface, you have to beat it.
Should we actually reshuffle the format and just rip the band-aid off by doing Hotlines now all do a couple of John Boyd accents and then get it behind us?
Great.
Does that make sense?
Hotlines.
You made it a Hotlines. I made it a hot song.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Good call, Anthony.
Yeah.
I like that production work.
Yeah. I don't actually have a Christopher Walken impression right there yet, but I'm sure there will be a
few
to come.
You mean John Boyd. That's a different
podcast. Yeah, it's just Christopher Walken in my head now.
Yeah, of course it is, yes.
Wait till we watch King of New York, then we can do that.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
I really like the Owen Wilson. Oh, is it just me, or does the jungle make you really, really horny?
That's
he says to remote controls, Kari Wur.
Yes, yes, yes. That's everyone's favorite line.
That's what she's from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's also later of Eight-Legged Freaks.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, for real.
And she's great.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
Man, I wish she had, a career.
She didn't?
She was in Eight-Legged Freaks.
Do I have any Hotlines?
I mean, there's so many good ones.
Fail. Who says I fail? When they say,
fail.
They
That's
say,
right.
Fail priest.
But he says, fail.
Fail. Who says I fail?
Who says I fail?
It's so.
I'll have you know I fuck plenty of children.
Bro. What are you doing?
Oh, my God. I love
what are you doing?
That's beautiful.
Who says I fail? But all of that, aside, all of his priestly affectations.
Ugh.
My favorite part, the constant blessing of things.
Absolutely.
Yes. It's so good.
You can tell he did so much backstory. He was really
Do you think so? Or do you think he didn't give a fuck at all?
No. I genuinely think he cared because, compare that to, for instance, his role in National Treasure as Nicolas Cage's father.
Okay, yeah.
The sincerity with which he approaches that one and being an old doddering dad who's a little ashamed of his son.
Yeah.
For how much of a crazy motherfucker he is in all walks of life, I don't believe he ever stopped caring about the roles he did.
Okay.
I
was wondering if it was a Michael Caine and Jaws the Revenge thing.
No,
or
I don't think
full
it is.
Paycheck for
because
him.
Michael Caine and Jaws the Revenge is very clearly doing Michael Caine.
Yeah.
As he so often did, especially after that. I wonder. I love kind of figuring out the roles at which people stopped caring.
Yeah.
Like Al Pacino after Cruising. That's when we get Loud Al.
Yeah.
John Voight. I think if you cast him in something now, he would still really go for it.
Okay.
There was a movie he made.
At that Donald Trump speech.
Yeah,
where
that's right. That's right. Yes.
Oh, he's one of those?
Oh, yeah, he's a Trump guy.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's a maniac. He's an absolute crazy person.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a reason Angelina Jolie does not take pictures with her father.
You should actually see this video of him dancing.
Okay,
it's
great.
Hysterical.
It's wild.
I'm looking forward to it. Yes, we'll watch it in the break.
Walken. Yeah.
When we take a pee break.
That's right.
When you get me a new pen.
Oh, you don't like your fucking Zelda Triforce pen?
Is that what that is?
It works as well as, to the listener, this is a pen that is twice as long as a regular pen and has a giant unnecessary plastic disc affixed to the
Welcome
end of
to
it.
Pen Talk, the podcast within a podcast where Anthony talks about his pens. It's not the first episode
at all. Is this a Bic?
Ooh, is it a Bic?
Is it a Bic?
I don't know. It's probably written on the other disc that's been cracked off.
Yeah,
because it is an unwieldy instrument.
You don't deserve wieldy instruments. You really don't. Your bottle openers need to hurt you.
Wasn't Wieldy the bassist in Korn?
Fuck you.
I hate that I understood that.
Yeah, Wieldy's dreams really never
this
took
all,
off.
This podcast, I believe, is all very embarrassing shibboleths.
Yeah.
Where somebody mentions some obscure thing from the 90s, and if you get it, you're ashamed.
That's what we do, yeah.
And then John Voight blesses us.
We need to bring currency into this because we all owe each other money.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of knowing
For
stuff.
The trauma of knowing the stupidest shit ever.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't think podcasts would exist if not for collective shame.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a huge shame element.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Are we going to unpack that now or no? So, John Voight.
John Voight. I like, Paul F. Tompkins was lately on the Comedy Bang Bang Best Ofs doing his John Voight impression because he was thinking, whenever he thinks of the term danger, he thinks of the line that he says. John Voight in this movie is such a child where every time he's not the center of attention, he immediately becomes it.
Oh, that's interesting.
So Owen Wilson and Kari Wuhrer are about to go to bed, and John Voight, to get their attention from across the boat in a hammock, says, danger! And so then Owen Wilson slowly turns around and he goes, danger is exciting!
Danger.
Everybody is danger.
And I love how
he's exciting.
He's swinging on that hammock like such a weirdo in that scene, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can tell, like, he probably did some real hammock work beforehand.
Because yeah,
he's like, look, I want to be a bushman who understands, like, hammock life.
Because
we
right.
sleep in hammocks a lot. So John Voight slept in a hammock for 2 years before shooting this movie.
That's
so
right.
He could be real dexterous.
He got the script in
1995. Yeah.
And he just laid in a hammock for the next 2 years working that accent out. It's, yeah, I'm like trying to think now of some of the bit, like the fucking, what are some of the things that he's saying? Like, ah, bait, can't catch an encounter without bait.
With no bait. Nobody asked him.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But did they, I mean, he didn't
well,
shoot
he shot a monkey.
Right in front
yeah.
of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about when he's like, they have to cut it out, and then he does the snipping gesture.
Cut it out.
Yeah,
yeah. He does Andy Dick firing an assistant.
That's right.
On the assistant.
That's right.
You're cut. Cut, cut, cut.
Yeah.
Wasp.
I actually really like that that was the one time that him and Eric Stoltz agreed with each other.
Yeah, it was a nice moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he's like, he's right. Yeah. That thing fucking exists, and this is right. He's like, he kind of tagged Eric Stoltz's little badass moment.
Yeah, it's
talking
true.
About this thing.
It was good.
That was really funny.
The Candiro, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got, and this is not a John Voight, but I got, don't stop.
That's right.
Don't start.
Don't start.
I loved that guy.
That
Jonathan
he
Hyde.
Did
what
oh.
I wanted Ice Cube to do,
yeah.
where he says really funny, snarky shit to every other person on the boat that he just can't be bothered
yes.
having a real interpersonal reaction with.
Yeah.
The best Jonathan Hyde move in the whole movie is when they're trying to decide about the dynamite, and Jennifer Lopez is like, well, we don't want to upset the ecological balance. So, oh, fine, we just backtrack. We lose 2 days. You tell me. And then Jonathan Hyde, who had been shaving in the scene, has his little mug of shaving cream water. And he stands up and he goes, oh, just blow the bloody thing. And throws the shaving water. Doesn't look at it. Throws it off the side of the boat. Yep. I was like, see, that's a professional right
I
there.
I remember that
Which
shit
is right after
perfectly.
Owen Wilson does the, hey, is that real dynamite?
Is that real dynamite?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Did that put, wow. Can we do those, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Yeah.
I like, too, that it takes one moonlight conversation about how expensive snakes are for him to turn on all of his friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a complete
well,
mutiny.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's some savvy screenwriting right there.
And that's also a Kari Wuhrer is so weak
yeah.
when she like still misses him.
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to get you killed
yeah.
to get half of that snake bounty, you absolute twit.
Snake bounty.
I kind of actually, I got a spicy take here. I kind of agreed with him. I was like, you know what? You are fucked. You are up a river.
That's true.
You should try and get some content out of this
it
thing.
It was just, it was like, it's so funny. Like, I think that there were, like, again, there's something about this movie that could have been like Harold Pinter's The Servant in a way, where it's like, guy shows up, ruins your life, like just like everything he does and says is calculated to get what he wants from you. And you can see in Jennifer Lopez's performance the more serious movie that could have emerged from this.
Uh-huh.
Like if they had gotten, like, I don't even know. And weirdly, you know, actually who could have done a good job with this because you wouldn't have suspected it at the time? Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, shit.
I can see that.
Jeff
oh, yeah.
Goldblum as Paul Cerrone makes that a psychodrama.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, okay.
So
I see
all
you mean.
Want is Paul Cerrone to speak in an irregular meter.
Absolutely.
That's the only
Add
requirement.
That in there.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Do a Paraguayan accent.
Danger. It's, wow. That's exciting. But I just, but again, if you hire an actor who doesn't broadcast their evil by doing, like, just, like, constantly grimacing like he's having, like, a weird erection at all times that
yeah.
he can't explain, like, then I think you pull something a little more serious out of the idea of Jennifer Lopez, like, really going for it with her
yeah.
performance, very upset about her dying boyfriend, who she, like, kind of had, like, they, like, I like their first scene where they're, like, they're clearly into each other, but there's, like, some roadblock that's, like, not designated that, like, keeps
yep.
them from, it was, like, again, there is good work being done here.
Yeah, and Eric Stoltz is doing a thing where, what I got from it was, like, he's like an academic
yeah.
who gets to go into the jungle sometimes, and he's like still like if he had Instagram, he'd be posting that shit all the
yes,
time.
Yes,
like look at me getting my hands dirty
That's
with
right.
with the natives, and like he's it's kind of like yeah he's kind of like a not a phony but like all of his things are performative. I
absolutely.
Think.
Well, that's I love that idea about him, that he's like, he can't help but get into a dick measuring contest with John Voight, even though he's like just a fucking dork.
Yeah, you think he got Jennifer Lopez on merit?
Yeah,
of course he's full of shit.
Well, and also, how is Eric Stoltz not a bad guy? Like, every time I see Eric Stoltz, I'm like, you greasy
fuck. That's ginger
fuck.
Bias.
Is it? Yeah, you might be right, actually. Yeah, no, I have a long track record of
You're like,
of
don't
ginger.
You see him? He's
Look at him!
Transparent! That's terrifying. What's he hiding? I have a note that I don't understand.
A hotline would also be useful.
I mean, a hotline, sorry. They don't care about his back? What is that?
They don't care about his back?
They don't come out his back? Oh! Oh, yeah, yeah. The dork came out his back. That's
Ice Cube. Ice Cube, that's right.
In an
80-yard
line.
That's right.
Because they needed to make sure you knew that when they shoot John Voight with a tranquilizer dart and he falls in the water, the dart comes out, so technically he's not tranquilized anymore.
That's
but
right.
The
dork came out his back.
They didn't shoot it well enough, so like they had to have Ice Cube, of course. I want Ice Cube to do all the fucking ADR in the world.
I would like it if you took one movie and you replaced it with just Ice Cube ADR lines. Yeah. Like, it's normal people. It's like Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis having a conversation. And then whenever they turn around and they're not facing camera, it's Ice Cube. That would be good.
The dude in a car goes by. The dork came out his back.
The snake's out there this big.
I mean,
there's snakes out there this big. Justifiably famous.
So good.
I also,
is that the one good line that you thought there was? What was the one good Ice Cube line?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
You said the one good Ice Cube line.
It's near the end.
Well, he does start it by saying, today's going to be a good day.
That was not the one I was thinking, but that one is acceptable. No, I like the, he's sitting around with the British
Jonathan Hyde. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're both talking about what they miss. Mm. And Jonathan Hyde's like, crisp sheets and hot showers, and he's like, the playoffs and a six pack.
Yep. That's right. LA traffic.
Yeah. And my cellular phone.
Oh, my cellular
don't
phone.
Stop. Yeah. So that right.
Don't stop.
Yeah. And they start to be like, oh wow, we both suddenly get along because we both have a lot of opinions and we're indifferent to the death of most of these people.
That's very true, yes.
You're right. There is a movie there where, like, if this was like an hour longer and it was more time of them just like stewing in the fucking rainforest.
Yeah.
It'd be like Sorcerer or something.
Absolutely, it
like,
would.
Some crazy shit. Like, I would watch the fuck out of that.
Yeah. I think it's like an infinitely moldable formula, and the elements are so well represented. That's the thing, is I think because as a 90-minute action movie, it sort of stands as like a basket of great things all competing for attention and dominance, where that John Voight performance could only belong in a very not serious movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. It would get really old really fast.
Exactly.
If it was like 2 hours, 2.5 hours long.
Like, imagine him doing Martin Sheen's narration in that voice for Apocalypse Now. Saigon! Still only on Saigon.
Now I'm back, actually. I want that.
Okay, good, yeah.
God, I seriously love his performance.
It's so good.
It's so
he, like, looks like he's turning
good.
Into a snake for a lot of it as well.
Yep.
And, like, all of his facial snake-like. Expressions, when he crushes Kari Werher with his dick, his, like, the look on his face where he's, like, his eyes are going way the hell up in his head, like, that's genuinely terrifying.
So funny.
Yeah, it's like a weird, like, Ring of Honor wrestling move
yes,
that he
yes,
does. Yes,
absolutely.
Well, as a jiu-jitsu practitioner, I was analyzing it for effectiveness and
of course.
Lethality. Not great. But he still did it. I think if... He's obviously a powerful man.
Well, absolutely. Your favorite John Voight jiu-jitsu move is the wink, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that.
Gets him every time.
Yeah. Monkey blood.
He's, like, covered in digestive fluid from a snake, and last move is to just give her the wink.
Yeah. So good. He just never
wonderful.
Drops it.
Even being digested,
yeah.
he still needs to be the creepiest man on the river.
So,
I
so
fucking
good.
Love it. It's...
I really liked the line from what's his name, the British guy?
Oh, well, Jonathan Hyde. I don't know who the fuck he plays in the movie. Yeah.
Jonathan Hyde, the god. We're not hunting or trapping anything, and then he pops his bottle of champagne.
That's right. Yes.
You
yes.
fucking said it. You ain't doing shit.
Yeah.
Because
he's,
like, we're not doing
anything. Got that hilarious suitcase filled with liquor.
Booze, yeah. Which that is one of my favorite tropes from that time. There's a little bit of that in a lot of these movies where somebody only packs booze.
Yep.
I love that.
All the ways that they code people as assholes in the 90s are represented in him.
Yes.
Plays golf. Likes classical music.
Turns off Ice Cube's rap music.
Yep, hates rap music.
Yeah.
Is a Brit.
It was a Mac 10 song, right? That's what he's listening to.
Well, because the entire soundtrack is either pan flute, ambience,
right.
or Mac 10.
That's
so good. Yeah. On the giantest CD player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mask Off Skipper was just Future watching Anaconda and combining the soundtrack into one song.
That's right.
That's awesome. That's true. It's all Anaconda. It's, everything. All
we're also contractually obligated to mention rap every 20 minutes.
Absolutely.
Or else, like, a buzzer goes off.
Yeah. Your sponsors are going to pull out.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, we'd be fucked. Shit. DiGiorno has left the room. I think I'm... Oh, I got low-budget Jacques Cousteau. Or low-budget-ass Jacques Cousteau.
Low-budget-ass Jacques Cousteau. Yeah. I wrote that down, too, because we need a new drop where every time we mention Jacques Cousteau...
Oh, yeah. Cool. And how I went drinking with his grandson?
Yeah.
At a club in Atlantic City?
What was his name?
Philippe?
Philippe Cousteau.
Maybe. But
wow.
I was just sitting next to him on
his
couch.
That was just a Family Feud answer board of frog names.
I know. Exactly.
What the fuck is the matter with you?
Why you gotta be frogs? Why you gotta be frogs? This isn't World War II. What's happening?
White on white violence is very low on things.
He
I
just saw 1917,
about.
And he is fuming.
Oh, that's what did it. He loves Sam Mendes.
It's really time to relitigate First and Second World
War.
We're
gonna figure this out. No, I was sitting next to Jacques Cousteau's grandson, and didn't know who the fuck he was. And we're in a VIP section at a club I don't have any business being in. And there's liquor everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And there's no one else. It's just me and Jacques Cousteau's grandson. So I said, what do you do? And he's like, I work in the ocean.
I'm professionally Jacques Cousteau's grandson.
I work in the oceans. What the fuck?
I work in the oceans.
What does that mean? He's like, do you fish?
I own a hardware store at the bottom of the ocean.
That's what I was like. I have like so many questions to get you
Bikini
to.
Bottom. Ever heard of it?
Ever heard of fucking Jacques Cousteau? That's my fucking grandson.
Wow.
Grandfather. Anyway.
Do you guys ever see the movie that Jacques Cousteau made with Louis Malle in 1955? Mm-mm. They won like a special prize at Cannes.
I ceased to watch things before 1981.
So. Oh, fair enough, of course. Well, there's no rap.
Yeah.
So, you fucking Philistine. No. there's a very strange movie, speaking actually of like animal encounter films. It's like a pretend documentary where it's like clearly they were out there shooting real stuff, but they made like a fake narrative to go around with it. It's called The Blue World, I want to say, or something like that, or the Silent World. Maybe it's Silent World. But anyway, Louis Malle, it was his first movie out of film school. He goes and he shoots this fake documentary with Jacques Cousteau and his people. And a lot of that stuff winds up in the Life Aquatic. But the weirdest thing happens about three quarters of the way through the film. They're watching a whale, and then their boat engine accidentally kills the whale. So then they're very mad about the whale dying, and they notice some sharks coming over to eat the dead whale. And then he and his crew grab their spear guns, dive into the ocean and go on a shark killing spree.
Jesus.
It is insane.
This really happened?
This is...
Yeah, there is a lot of footage of Jacques Cousteau's guys killing a shitload of sharks for no reason.
Wow.
They're mad.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is a very Life Aquatic
Was
thing.
The hope that if I'm they not, keep the shit, sharks so. Away, there's a chance the whale could live?
Well, that whale
or is this
dead.
Just a vengeance
It was
thing.
Straight up vengeance.
Okay.
Yes.
Jesus. Huh.
Yeah, I think that must be where the thing in Life Aquatic where they say, what will be the scientific purpose of killing it? And Bill Murray says, revenge. I think that's where it comes from, to be honest.
That's amazing.
It's truly, like, beyond belief.
Damn, dude.
Because I was going through a watch of every movie that won the top prize at Cannes. I was, like, trying to make sure I saw all them, and I got to this one, I was like, what the fuck? What's going on in France? Were you guys this mad about World War II still? Like, we didn't make you surrender. Like,
Jacques Cousteau's a punk. You know why?
Why's that?
He never went up the Amazon.
That's right.
Yeah.
He didn't fight a fucking anaconda.
No, he didn't fight an anaconda.
What an asshole.
Jesus Christ.
Human bones. That's how it comes out.
Yes.
And then he does the, like, granular.
Oh, God, yeah. You can hear the sound of your bones snap, and then your veins explode.
I love that. Your veins explode.
Ashes to ashes. God, it's so good.
Oh, man, everything is a classic the minute he fucking says it.
Are we, is that any more? You got any more hotlines, or should we move on to?
We could probably move on. We basically, I got one more.
Okay.
When they blow up the bridge, and the snakes come down from the trees, and they're all over everywhere, and John Voight very happily looks at them, and he goes, babies!
little
babies!
Oh, babies.
Fucking so funny. Okay.
Just to make sure I didn't miss did Jonathan Hyde, last time I was in water like this, I was up all night picking leeches off my scrotum.
Picking leeches off my scrotum.
Well, I kept getting Robin Colcourt vibes. Fucking Rebecca's incarcerated husband in Cheers.
On Cheers.
Oh,
that's what I kept thinking it was the same guy, but it's not. And those guys would get pissed if you confused them.
Oh, sure.
They probably have a ton of, like, Shakespeare experience.
Oh, I bet. That's why I love a guy like Jonathan Hyde, who clearly like has some serious, you know, RADA training or whatever, you know. And then he goes and does the silliest shit ever.
Americans are like, fucking British accent, we need you in this
no,
movie.
No, you mustn't open the book!
You know, the amount of times he must have warned people off of ancient artifacts in horror movies.
That's what I do. That's what you get.
That's right.
It's the Jonathan Hyde experience.
I'm almost done with these, but they're just so many good
Let's
ones.
Let's do those. Oh, please, take a break, and then we'll come back.
That's completely fair. The summer blockbuster Speed homage. It's like driving a Cadillac Fleetwood. When Jonathan Hyde is teaching Ice Cube how to drive the boat.
Yes, God, I love
Jonathan
that.
Hyde suddenly knows how to drive boats, too.
Yes.
I also really liked when John Voight has clearly taken command of everything. And he's like, occupy yourselves. Play some cards.
Yeah.
Occupy yourselves.
Such a dickheaded
play some
thing.
Cards.
It's just such a great suggestion, too, because he's like, you can't leave.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
You might as well just kill some time.
Yeah. Like, if the movie had been a little longer, the incessance with which John Voight keeps bending every piece of the situation to his will is like so infuriating.
Yeah.
And like every new set piece they realize just how much further fucked they are than
they thought
they were.
You could really bring that to a boil.
You
like
really could.
They're like playing cards and they're sweating and John Voight is standing over them or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
just
watching
them.
And also commenting is a terrible hand.
That's right. You got a fool. You got no poker face.
And then the final one, just that way it doesn't turn into me reciting every last fucking note. I don't know who said it, but it's something I just want to reuse outside of this podcast. No need to apologize. We're all at the mercy of our machines when the boat isn't doing well.
Oh, yeah.
Who does say
that's
that?
Like actually probably the best line in the movie as far as something doesn't sound flat out fucking ridiculous.
Yeah,
we're
all
at the mercy of our machines.
That is some
real
talk.
It's the boat captain.
Mateo?
Mateo.
No, he doesn't have any lines, does he?
He does at one point call somebody Chefe, which is just great writing. But he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't say much. The idea that he and Danny Trejo and John Voight used to be like on a snake partnership together or something.
Yeah, the wrecking crew.
Yeah, that's right.
That's when they're drinking those five whiskey breakfasts.
Five whiskeys on a river. That's breakfast. That's
so funny.
Oh shit! All right. Yeah. So is there? Okay. Well. God, I want to think about if I was doing a screening of this at one of those places where they serve food, it'd be like the Anaconda menu.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
well, you'd have to have salad.
Yeah.
You'd have to have like a foot-long dog called the Anaconda.
Yeah.
Giant sushi roll. That
river
could work.
Fish.
That could work. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do the fish where he's constantly every time John Voight puts knife to wood, it's the loudest sound anyone's ever heard. And then they kill the pig and he goes, Mateo, come help me. We'll leave for a week.
What if you did a party sub, but instead of a spatula, you have a pickaxe?
Oh, there you go.
That's pretty
good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, like
that's good.
All right, we can close
party
on that.
Sub.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. Okay, bye. I guess is this time for notes?
Let's do notes.
Let's go to the notes. Relax and take notes. All right. Anthony, hit us with your hottest fire starter.
I had to watch this on Crackle because I wanted to save $4.
Because you're poor.
So the movie starts, and I instantly realize I'm going to need to keep a tally sheet of how many Bloomberg advertisements I saw.
Nice.
Because he has spent fucking 15 times every other Democratic nominee. Got as high as 6.
Nice.
So yeah, fuck him for A, ruining Anaconda for me, and B, for using prison labor to fundraise all of his fucking phone calls.
Yeah,
and
cool
shit.
Guy.
Super
Jesus
fucking
Christ.
Gross.
Cool guy. Now, John Voight is his running mate, am I mistaken?
Yeah, he's president of Paraguay.
I would put nothing past that
president
scumbag.
President of Paraguay.
Did you have any notes? I mean, you're kind of a living note. Of
I
this
am
movie.
A living note for this movie.
For the listener, too, Scout does not have anything written down.
I
he's remembering all of this because he's seen this movie a number of times, and because he doesn't have a broken brain, the way I do, apparently.
Definitely go to his Twitter, honors_zombie. Is that
honors _zombie.
And watch your, what do you, Dad Rock?
Dad Rock, yeah. Dad Rock is my series about 90s action movies, and I was at war with myself about including Anaconda because it's not a straight action movie, but there's enough cool action shit in there. Yeah. I mean, they do blow the fucking snake up, which
is... Was that an homage
funny.
To, like, a Wages of Fear kind of thing?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
That's the thing, is that there's, like, again, because you've got... Bill Butler worked...
It's nice talking to somebody who's seen a movie. And, like, I'm an idiot. Like, I haven't seen anything. I don't know anything, but I know, like, one or two things. It's just
I've seen Disorderly 6 times, I'll have you know. Yeah.
And the only movie you saw last year was Burning, so you did pretty good, actually. Yeah. You did all right.
Literally, 2 of the 3 movies I've seen in theaters most recently were Cats, which you wrote about.
Yes.
And Gotti.
Amazing.
Oh my god, you found a theater playing Gotti?
I did. And I got there early enough in its theatrical run that there was multiple people wearing tracksuits.
Wow.
And we saw Superfly.
We did see Superfly.
We saw that in the theater, yeah.
Superfly, the remake from Director X?
Very good.
Was it good?
Very good.
We had a great time. It was
very
fun.
Good, yeah.
I'm excited.
But you were saying Dad Rock. And
Dad
got
Rock, so yes. That's my video essay series on 90s action movies, and it's the one where I like sound the most like myself, my speaking voice.
It is a different...
Yeah, it's got a different vibe where I swear and stuff. Again, the thing has foundations in real shit. Where you've got, again, even casting John Voight speaks to an understanding of where he came from as an actor. You know, you have to have seen fucking Midnight Cowboy. And then you get Bill Butler to do the photography, who shot Jaws, who also worked with William Friedkin, who later made Sorcerer, a remake of Wages of Fear.
Oh, amazing.
It's all, you know, it's all in the DNA. It's just clearly a movie at that budget with those elements and a giant CGI monster was going to be... you know, overly micromanaged by whomever the studio was.
Uh-huh.
There was no way that whatever thing this guy thought he was making was going to come out intact. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure he had no say on the composer and no say on, you know, the final edits. Obviously, all the CGI, ADR, you know, that kind of stuff was clearly like a way after we finished shooting kind of a thing.
Let's
you know,
make it from R to PG-13.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. And no director is ever like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, great. You said this ended his career.
It did.
How did that happen? He just was so disillusioned afterwards? Like,
no, it got terrible reviews.
That's weird.
Except for Roger Ebert, who gave it 3.5 stars.
Roger Ebert
to God.
He knew what was up. Roger Ebert, he loved Jennifer Lopez.
Interesting.
Credit where credit is due.
So wait, why did he, like...
Because
it got terrible reviews.
It got terrible reviews.
Like, I'm never doing it anymore.
And I don't think anybody at that point afterwards wanted to give him money to do this anymore, because it afterwards immediately garnered the reputation of a movie you rent on VHS out of morbid curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
It was not thought of as a serious film, and so, you know, you combine it, how much money went into it, and I think it took a decent amount of money, but everybody was like, this is silly as shit.
Yeah.
You let this guy have this much money, and this is the result?
Yeah.
I imagine there were a lot of very angry meetings. He made one more movie in, I want to say, 2003, 2004, but it was back in his home country.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It was not a Hollywood film. I think he was shown the door quite soon after the film was released.
Well, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're an actual movie person, but I feel like casting someone like Jennifer Lopez, where you have this like prescient understanding of where her career is about to go,
certainly
can be a double-edged sword, because if the movie doesn't blow up the way you wanted it to,
yeah,
in the year 2000, 2001, 2002, people look back and they're like, you had Jennifer Lopez after Selena and you couldn't fucking make $1 billion off this movie.
Exactly.
Like, you don't get the credit for seeing her. People are just like, oh, well, this should have been a slam dunk blockbuster.
Absolutely.
I think it deserves a fucking Oscar because it's 90 minutes long.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Yes.
No.
I do want to see the 2.5 hour fucking
absolutely.
Thriller,
well,
terrifying version
now,
of it, but
now
the Redux or whatever.
Yes. Anaconda Redux. First of all, for a second, I thought you said Doredux.
That's brilliant, actually.
Doredux 3D.
Cool Ranch.
Cool Ranch Doredux.
Let's sell that to Doritos.
Absolutely. This podcast brought to you by Doritos 3D. They're bringing them back for some reason. No, but I would love it now that you... So, like, we were talking off mic about 47 meters down. Now that CGI's got to the point where you can actually make scary creatures like Crawl and have them have a certain amount of weight. They're obviously CGI alligators. But you're still fucking frightened of them because, you know, you get a director who knows how to light that shit well. then you can actually blend them into the fabric of the film a little better.
Crawl fucking owned.
Crawl
loved
rips.
Crawl.
It's so fucking good.
Also a tight 90.
Ugh. No, yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, God. Is there anything that movie can't do?
No, my God. Yeah. She fires a gun right into a fucking alligator's
fucking
mouth.
Gator's mouth.
So good.
Ugh.
So good.
The fucking best.
And she also learns how to love her father.
She does.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Or vice versa. Something.
Yeah, well, they learn to forgive each other and all that stuff.
They're like, all right, it's 2019. You got to have a little, like, message.
A little, yeah.
But we're gonna get there quickly. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, yeah, we reconcile. Yeah. It's great.
It literally happens in the margins of the gator attacks.
It's awesome.
It's so good. And that's, yeah. I think now you could make a movie like Anaconda again and use the same level of CGI to puppet ratio as something like Crawl, because Crawl occasionally has like real tails and stuff like that whipping around, and do it right and have it be the Apocalypse Now, you know, the servants, the birthday party, you know, like the tense thing that really brings that stuff out of people, and you could fuck around and make like a 2.5 hour snake movie. I think that'd be kind of fun.
That would be fucking cool. But we didn't get that. We got 90
minutes. We
did not
get that. We got a tight 90.
And they did. It's not like there's a director's cut. Like, this is what it is.
No. I don't think, honestly, especially, again, the budget, I don't think they would let him anywhere near it.
Yeah.
I don't think that they would let that guy back into the fucking studio gates.
That's so crazy.
Isn't it?
I liked, my note is that Ice Cube is not excited about the boar when they kill it and say they're going to eat it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, eat it.
Yeah.
Because Ice Cube is a black Muslim. So... You don't eat.
Okay, so it's swine.
And Mama cook a breakfast with no hog. So, like, I think
I
like
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, I think that was a moment where he's like, "I'm not even gonna suggest that a character that I play will eat a pig."
That is a salient point. That was not on my radar.
That's
like
what
that.
I do. I bring salience to this madness.
I'm over here writing Owen Wilson wearing multiple puka shell necklaces.
he's really very. The wardrobe department really went for it, didn't they?
What does his iron-on ass shirt say to?
I don't even remember.
Good day, mate.
Good day, mate. I was hoping it was no shirt, no shoes, no problem.
Also,
Federal
Eric
booty
Stoltz,
inspector.
Eric Stoltz in a UC Santa Cruz shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. Who was working in film in the 90s making UC Santa Cruz get a shout out in every
Banana
Strange movie?
Yeah, that's true. Well,
most of those guys making those movies probably went to UC Santa Cruz.
That's fair.
That was the thing.
There was a thing there, right? Like, there was obvious knowledge of how a film works on screen.
For sure.
There was the staff was perfect.
Yes.
The production manager, the camera person, sound guy,
yeah.
Director, talent.
Yeah.
It was all there, right?
It's funny to me that they've got the you know, now, if it was somebody like David Attenborough, he very likely wouldn't be on the fucking boat with them.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, too. They needed an extra guy.
They needed
to feed
another guy.
Snake.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They needed the uptight guy. They needed the millionaire from Gilligan's Island.
Also, the reason they wouldn't put Attenborough on the boat is because then they would also need to put Oprah on the boat for a dumber American audience.
That's very true. Yes, yes.
we can't handle Attenborough.
Yeah,
we
exactly.
just fall asleep.
Yeah.
It's so soothing.
Fucking right. Our dumb nation.
Is he talking in an accent? I can't listen to this shit. Give me Oprah.
Subtitles? Fuck that.
Fuck that. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was funny. But it also, again, it's, you need the snobs v. slobs comedy of Jonathan Hyde v. Ice Cube. So naturally, you need to bring him on the boat.
And actually, when they started to get along was during what I thought was a really a clever attack on John Voight, where you see J-Lo going to like try to use her feminine wiles, and you're like, oh, this is going to be like a very predictable thing. And then you see the telegraphed Ice Cube coming out, not realizing it's a misdirection, designed to make Voight turn and look at Ice Cube and then get hit in the back of the head with a golf club.
Yes. Yeah.
That was actually when
that
the
whole
crew
scene
became
was really
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
I thought what I really liked about that part is that she kind of sucks at it.
Mm.
Like, she's not good
at all
at seduction. She's not attracted to him even a little bit.
No.
She's really, you could tell that she's, maybe she just didn't play this scene, but she like really is trying and not doing a great job at it, which is cool.
Again.
But I also liked that he checks the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact, and I think you said it in your essay, that they built this fucking boat.
Yeah.
And it's cool that he actually uses the space, because it's like, you see him look up right when she knocks on the door, and doesn't show what he's looking at.
But he's
it doesn't
looking.
Cut to some shot of, like, oh, here's the rearview mirror with her in it.
No.
But you know that he knows that she's there.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, you're right. That's a good okey-doke. Like,
mm-hmm.
That was a great
It was like a tag team wrestling match
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. It was, yeah, and again, and that's the weird concreteness of this movie, where everything has to be planned perfectly because all the sets are so specific.
Yeah,
you know, you've got the waterfall bit, you know, and you've got the warehouse, And they use every bit of the space. I really miss that. Another reason I love Crawl. You've only got the house, and so they make use of the house. The neighborhood is clearly a set. You know, you've got the gas station and everything and all the swing sets. It's just a movie that takes advantage of every little thing that it was given to play with is always going to excel in my book. That's the reason something like Deep Blue Sea is so fucking silly. You've got this enormous, stupid underground laboratory, and the dimensions might as well be fucking Salvador Dali. Like,
infinite.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You have no idea what anything, where, how Good much point. Room there's supposed to be, any of this shit. The Meg was like that. Remember that movie?
Yeah, you're like, what's happening here?
Where the fuck is any of this in relation to itself?
You do have a great sense of everything, of where everything is. And you get that scene ends with that great line of asshole in one.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And do you have any more notes? Yeah.
I like that you talked about how tactile the movie is, because I'm going to lay something on you. You know the Twitter, like, viral Twitter debate of if you're going to take a movie and replace every character
Muppets?
With a Muppet except one? Eric Stoltz in The Mask.
What?
Eric Stoltz and Peter Bogdanovich's mask.
Oh my God!
With Cher.
Yes. With
so
Muppets?
It's like, yeah, Cher is made of felt.
Yes.
And it's like a biker Muppet, and she's like, my son doesn't look like me because he's not felt. It's Eric Stoltz with a rubber face.
That changes the entire movie.
Yeah.
That
but
makes,
yet
that
it remains the identical
movie. It's true. And then you would have to get Paul Williams instead of Bruce Springsteen or Bob Seger to do the score.
Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really good shit. Yeah.
That's very good.
The only tragedy is that Rocky Dennis is actually secretly the best Muppet name.
Rocky Dennis. Shit. Oh, my God.
But I really like that whole opening scene with Danny Trejo. But when you look up reviews of this movie, and this is the worst, is like people who like to dunk on bad movies and get paid for it as like a writer.
Yeah.
I found one where somebody was like, talking about that scene and how, like, oh, Danny Trejo, you got a gun. Why don't you just shoot the stupid snake in the head, you idiot?
Oh,
and it's like, there's paragraphs. And then I also read one where Yahoo fucking interviewed the snake from Anaconda
20
years
no.
after the movie came out for some fucking, anyway, whatever, stupid shit.
Can I tell you that there is genuinely nothing less funny on planet Earth than a film critic who thinks he's funny?
Oh, it's bad, yeah. Oh, it's bad. Yeah,
it's okay. We'll edit most of this out.
And I say this as one, but it is so fucking true.
Well, when you're writing, do you ever like think of a joke and then you're like, no?
No,
not
absolutely,
doing it.
I do, because if you have the one rule I have when I'm writing bad reviews is that I don't want people to see the strings at all. I need the thing to just like flow. Like the one review that people still talk to me about is my Captain Fantastic review. Mm. Remember that fucking movie?
I remember. I never saw it.
Oh God, it's bad.
It's the one about they're cut off from society or something.
Yeah, on purpose because you know society is a cancer. So the thing to do is to move your children into the woods and make them fucking train with knives. fucking, it's so bad. But that review.
Anthony's over here like, that sounds pretty good.
But that was one where I deliberately had to cut out everything that like sort of took away that I wanted that movie to be like a Brisson movie where it was all business. Like I didn't want there to be this bagginess, because if you have to go even a step out of your way to get a fucking joke on paper, the battle's already over.
It's a little bit masturbatory. Is that kind of the idea?
Absolutely. I mean, you think about so much of like the strain of criticism you're talking about comes from guys like Rex Reed or whatever, and people like that will go miles out of their way for the most labored joke ever.
I think
most mean movie reviews are rooted in the fact that what they're actually criticizing is the idea of an unserious movie.
Yes.
It's more like political criticism
than
cinematic criticism.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that way, though, then they have it coming, I think. If you're really trying to take something down a peg that like was conceived out of, you know, craven means and was just like a cash grab or whatever,
right,
then you should fuck it up.
But I mean, that's just it. They would never. It's like when people have really nasty things to say about like aspirational progressive politicians, but never criticize an establishment politician in the same way. One would. If
this
they
is
took
legit, yeah.
one tenth of that vitriol and were like, you know, it's a real piece of shit, Gladiator, and you know who's fucking guilty? Everybody that nominated it for an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be fascinating to read, but these people would much rather kick a movie that is in on the joke while it's down.
Exactly.
And that's what's
because
so useless about a lot of criticism.
Yeah. So much fucking criticism. It's genuinely, it's essentially keeping the system in place.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to make fun of a movie like Anaconda because it is so out loud in every single stylistic decision it makes. It at no point attempts to be the serious film it could have been. But you're not allowed to have the same opinion about films that, you know, we're like slowly moving away from this. It's, again, it's been baby steps. But like now you can make fun of, you know, whatever, like When Hands Touch or like an Imitation Game. Mm-hmm. In a way that you wouldn't have necessarily, you know, quote unquote, been able to, or certainly you would have been in the minority if you had done that back in the day. But that's, yeah, that's a huge part of criticism maturing, is getting away from that, and also getting away from the most belabored, unfunny, funny reviews.
That's a good point, because a lot of these things do come from a time when, like, Cracked.com was, like, running
yes,
the
exactly.
earth.
You fucking know, whereas, Harry like, Knowles was still employable.
Yeah, written content.
Yeah.
It was like, let's write a funny review, and it's going to go viral.
The idea
you know,
of
and, like,
interviewing the
anymore.
Snake is the stupidest idea I've ever
so
heard
dumb.
In my life. Like,
oh, it's like all these, like, bits about, like, you know, I've got, like, 87 kids, so, like, I don't really think about my holidays, my Hollywood days too much anymore.
Shut up.
It was John Voight and I, while I was digesting him, he just kind of read me The Tale of Two Cities, you know, while he was in my stomach. We really got close. Like, it was like, you're really going for this, writer? Like, what? Whoa,
yeah.
Bro. Like, that was a lot of work to get to do. Anyway, we've come full circle. Going way out of your way to dunk on something
exactly
like that is
just
utter waste of time.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, especially because I love Anaconda, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it to something I don't like.
Seriously, but I just I don't know what the point of expending that much energy to make fun of something that didn't have a fighting chance to begin with.
Yeah,
and everybody does it. I mean, like I had to review Cats because that to me is one of the most fascinating films of all time.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I
Drugs 1A, Cats 1B.
I wanted the film stage wouldn't let me give it an A and an F simultaneously, so I went with the F instead because that was a slightly more honest reaction to it.
Oh, that's great.
But I have seen that movie now like 4 times.
Oh, nice.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. I only paid for it once, and I have a cam rip that I've been watching obsessively.
Wow.
Just to, like, I am trans-fucking-fixed.
Well, it's so weird because I'm not a musical person, but Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals are, like, a unique kind of dog shit.
Sure.
So
oh, no, yeah, they're very bad.
That, like,
yeah.
Half the songs are just a turd.
Yes.
Is the kind
of
thing that, as a music person but not a film or a theater person was interesting to, like, show
so
up
the
and be
songs
like,
suck.
Yeah,
they
to be
do.
Like, oh, Rum Chum Tugger is a bop or whatever. Like, that's the shit. But then there's
the
like four other songs that are terrible.
Rum Chum Tugger is funny to me because I think on the stage it was probably great, but in the movie they've essentially reduced it to like somebody pretending to be Flea on the bass, one drum track, and like what sounds like synth saxophone.
Yeah.
It's super bad.
It actually sounds very much my shit.
You should really see
you
it.
You really need
Cats
to see
is
it.
Marvelous.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Yeah, speaking of creature features, you must see it at some point. It was one of those that like I for the months leading up to it, I'm like, who the fuck is this movie for? And then I saw it and I said, me. That's who it's for.
It's fascinating. And it's actually one of the nice stories in film this year is everyone being like, well, clearly Hollywood is useless and the people that invest in things are just as dumb as we are.
Yes.
There's no meritocracy whatsoever. But there is the happy ending of if you have a substance abuse problem and you're willing to just go egg on bad ideas.
Yes.
It's a hoot. Like, you look around, you see the 15 sparsely filled seats
in
the theater with you, and you're like, these are my people.
Yeah,
every
exactly.
single one of them has a tank
I walk
of nitrous
around,
on them.
I walk around Chelsea every day, and I'm like, I don't have anything coming. This is the one neighborhood
the
in
one,
Manhattan, in the world,
yes.
that is like the Pete Buttigieg district. And yet, I find 15 people at 23rd and 8th at 1 in the afternoon on New Year's Day.
Fuck, that's
and
awesome.
And it's like, these are my fucking... One woman is in the back with a baby, just
oh,
sitting there,
shit, yeah.
like the baby's sleeping, and she's just like letting it wash over her,
ugh.
Like she's at a Gallagher show, and pieces of melon
she's in
coming
the
at her.
Splash zone,
yeah, it's
yeah.
great.
No, Cats is truly a movie with a splash zone. It's very true. When I saw
that
it,
goes on the motherfucking poster. That's really good.
When I saw it the fucking third time, I don't know. I brought my friend Kristen, who is a theater person, like directed Puffs, the Hufflepuff show on
okay.
Broadway.
Oh wow!
And so we went to go see it, and she was just losing her mind the entire time. Like, what is this? But behind us were a bunch of kids that I wanted to like personally high five all of them because the movie starts and they're laughing their fucking asses off.
Oh, that's great.
And there are like 6 people who are bummed about it.
What age are we talking about here? Like,
oh, these are like
15, 16?
Middle schoolers.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, it was. I loved them, and they were like laughing, and they were like the jokes were funny. And then at one point, somebody said, "Hey, if you're gonna talk through the whole movie, what was the point of coming?" And one of them says, without skipping a beat, he goes, "It's fucking Cats."
fucking give that kid a medal.
I was like, you just made this for me. Like,
well, that was
it.
Me and Anaconda.
Yeah.
Me and my friends, stoned as fuck, went to Anaconda in the theater with my dad, who didn't know we were high, which is always a weird trip. Like,
sure.
Act normal until you sit down. And that was it. It was like we were blazed out of our minds, like high-fiving each other when stupid shit would happen.
Yeah.
When that, let me tell you, when they give you that shot from inside of the Anaconda, that's when this movie stops being a movie and starts being something else completely.
I completely agree.
You're like, this is from something else. Like, why
this is
the
from
fuck?
Outer space.
They built that.
They built the snake cam.
Fucking real.
Oh, God, it's so good.
And we would, there are kind of, we would throw around the blank, the best blank ever all the time whenever we did anything. And this hit the high,
for sure,
the high heights of best movie ever.
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 Yeah. I thought you were going to say, like, best snake cam ever.
Oh,
best
snake
cam
ever.
Snake
cam ever. I
mean,
have you seen a better one?
Ever.
You guys like how I brought it back to Anaconda?
Absolutely.
Very
Thank
important.
Thank
Very
you for
important.
Doing that. No, and the thing, too, the motion of that one where they, like, kind of have to, like, shove his body into the thing and then pull. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there is a
so much planning.
Talk about fucking tactile.
Exactly.
That shit was. I felt that shit.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, it's so fucking
And
good.
Just, yeah, and then Ice Cube running around with the pickaxe and everything afterwards, like. Ugh, you just love
it. Yeah, you did have a really good sense of where the fuck they were in that part, too. Like, she's in the fucking smokestack.
Yes.
He's down at the bottom of it. She can't get the thing open.
Very, very well art-directed, the whole set.
Yeah.
And again, I said this in the essay, but I genuinely think if that movie had been a success, they could have built the sweetest fucking theme park ride. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Well, that's a good point.
I would have gone
like
on that
shit. Like the Twister
shit.
Ride.
Exactly, like the Twister ride.
Yeah.
Fuck, that shit was scary.
Mainly just wind.
Yeah, it's true.
My note is that I think John Voight, when they show that archival news clipping, I think he's wearing a Sabbath Bloody Sabbath t-shirt.
Oh, I love that. Is
I
that
think,
true? Oh, that would be fucking
I think,
rad.
I couldn't even, you can't
the movie,
even
the movie
posit-
has
that kind of metal is very popular in South America.
Yeah, that's
yes,
true. That's
dude.
Very true. Sabbath
that's
is
a good
huge
point,
down there.
Should have been listening to some Sepultura, though.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, for sure.
Great. Ugh. Roots, Bloody Roots was like the whole soundtrack of this movie.
Oh, that would have been fucking rad.
It'd be really
but
fucking
again,
funny.
This is, again, it's so ripe for like homage or remaking, because you can actually put more cultural stuff in it, like specific to the region.
Yeah, know? I guess having a rapper in your movie does open you up to like cultural references that you just didn't have before.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now we got Mac 10.
Now you got Mac 10 on the soundtrack.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
That
pretty funny.
Prominently featured a Mac 10 song at blaring.
Yeah.
I wonder what the process was like to figure out which song it was going to be. Well, Ice Cube is probably just like, this is the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Ice Cube is like, I own Mac 10's publishing.
Exactly.
It's just my buddy.
I wrote the shit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So here,
yeah, just
you can
use
have
this.
It. Don't even call Mac.
Don't even fucking call him.
Yeah. Dub
he's
C picks up his phone
and he's
for
busy. What's Mac 10 up to these days?
Do you think when
waiting for another West Side Connection album to happen.
When Ice Cube calls Dub C or Mac 10, is it a West Side Connection?
Only if it's on an old-fashioned phone line.
Thank you for helping me along with that terrible one.
Absolutely.
Anthony was out. You see that?
He bailed.
He's fuck this. I'm out.
Grabbed his parachute.
Fuck you.
I'm always leery of making fun of Mac 10 because it turns into people making fun of Dub C. And then I need to be like, Dub C
abide.
Is a goddamn legend,
yeah.
And he's the best fucking rapper in West Side Connection.
Yeah.
And I will not tolerate
you're right.
That
That's
slander.
True. We do not abide that. No, you're right. That's a very
important,
point.
Especially on
Dub C,
an
if you're listening. We love you.
Come on the podcast.
On an ostensible rap podcast, it's one thing to spend the entire time talking about John Voight talking like Christopher Walken. It's another thing to slander Dub C.
Of course.
Yes, true. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I had to throw down my pickaxe.
Clear. That's true.
Right in the middle of that.
In the middle of the Dub C argument.
Yeah. I like that you're worried about this wave of slander coming at Mac
for
10.
A fucking 20-year-old
rap
single.
Yeah, you are so paranoid. It's amazing.
It's wild to me that this movie is now over 20 years old.
That is insane.
23 years old.
Is it 23 years old?
Yeah. Jeez. If this movie went to war, it'd be dead by now.
Duh. Oh, my God.
It's timely.
Too real.
Yeah. Excited for that war in the Middle East we're going to do again.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of remakes.
Yeah, speaking of sequels, right?
Oh, we're so fucked. Everything is terrible.
I want to take that monkey blood right out of the water.
There you go. That's
because this is going to become a whole other fucking podcast. Anthony's constantly attempting to are you going to run for office? Fuck, we'll talk about that some other time. What other
you
notes
run
do you
for
have?
I actually don't have any other notes.
Sick.
Besides that you should run for office and just let me make your policy.
That's actually a good
because
point.
Because
who
the hell would vote for
I'm
me?
A way better candidate than you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually not even a joke.
Yeah, you've spent your entire career trying to keep me from getting canceled.
Yeah, no, it's real talk. This none of this is like even a bit. It's all completely
it's all real.
Completely real. So the one thing that I guess maybe we're not going to close on this, but I watched this with my wife who was experiencing a fever.
Oh boy!
While we were watching it, and she.
Do you have cowbell on hand?
What? Oh, Jesus Christ. Bruce Dickinson.
I just it's all Christopher Walken all the time here.
That's right.
And she could not deal with Eric Stoltz.
Yeah.
Fucking couldn't handle his acting. It was like it was blowing her mind. I don't know why. It was like zeroed in on like, we should bring her down here and ask her what the fuck. And also like John Voight, I don't think she had seen a John Voight anything before. And so I mean, she was like,
this is a weird way to start.
I was going to say
screaming at everything he was doing.
Oh yeah. Well, because it is, it's a performance that never quits.
No, never. He doesn't ever stop. No.
No.
When he first jumps from that boat onto the other boat
yeah.
and he pounces like a panther.
Yes.
For no reason.
Absolutely.
It's so good. Ugh. Anyway, that was like one of the more enjoyable parts.
And
of
I love
my
too
experience.
His outfit is so strangely perfect in that. Pink, like button up or something like that, and then also cargo pants.
Yeah, well, he's very functional.
Yes. Yeah. yes. Yeah. He looks like a Gap ad became sentient.
And he changes.
Yes.
He does change shirts.
That's true.
Yeah, because he brought a bag. So his items.
He's a former priest. He came prepared.
Yeah. Oh,
so good.
Vestments, they're called.
I would have liked, honestly, for them to go whole hog and have him wear like a cassock made out of snakeskin.
That
would have
been great if he was like the Dennis Hopper in Apocalypse
yes,
Now. He's just
yes.
been there, but he's like a missionary and
yes.
he's stranded there.
And he got obsessed with snakes because they
Come
ate
on.
All of his people that he came
Come
to educate
on.
With Christianity.
Let's make this
See,
movie.
Yeah, there's so
Let's
much
make
left
Magic
to do.
Scout.
Yeah, this is like a Richard Stanley movie in waiting.
Yeah, I'll dress up as one of the extras.
There you
I'll
go. Perfect.
I'll be in the movie, but then nobody will know.
That's right, as the snake man.
After I lose the job.
That's right.
All right.
What a great story.
So, music?
I have music. Should we take a break and then handle the music?
We'll take a break. Sing your bitch at the scope, cut a joker. But niggas start to handcuff they hoes like TJ Hooker. Fool, I'm a bet you can bet that I could dance underwater and not get wet. It's the nappy headed nigga that can kill it. Rap. Everybody run when I bust a cap. Putting Inglewood up on the map. Look at what I do when I pulls my strap. Bust two rounds, the niggas about to clown. Bitch, hit the side and alarm, it's going down. Oh, lie. My Bane voice ruined friendships for an entire
Your Bane
voice?
Oh, man,
oh,
but
yeah.
the Bane voice was the voice to do.
It was the best. It was the most fun
Perhaps
for me.
Perhaps he's wondering why you shoot a man before you throw
you
him out of the
do
plane.
Do not get
Sorry.
Missed out.
Anyway.
Oh, I was born in it.
I was born in it.
Okay, fuck. Because seriously, this is it's an actual problem for me. Ask Anthony. He was there.
I was there. Yeah, I mean, it tidily sorted itself out when he then dressed as Bane for Halloween.
That's funny.
Yeah, when I was at my skinniest.
Yeah.
It was not a very good
Bane. Like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Well, what did I look like, Anthony?
I mean, I don't know that the phrase AIDS Bane is as funny in 2020 as it was in 2011, but... yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, you could never run for office.
Come
yeah.
town, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Come
so
down.
Anyway, we've watched at this point, this is our 7th Ice Cube movie.
I think he's the most viewed on our podcast.
Wow, even more than Sticky Fingers.
A fair question. We're still working our way
through the Blade television show.
Series.
Oh, man.
But the issue is that Ice Cube, outside of the Cam album, which was his cousin,
mm-hmm.
and Delench Mob, which were his friends,
right.
and like a few other isolated cameos, yeah, there's not a lot of obscure Ice Cube. You
sure.
sort of just have Ice Cube making a bunch of really popular rap songs at
yeah.
a time where he became like the driving force in non-New York rap.
Yeah.
Which means that trying to sort through the miasma to find one strange Ice Cube song for this makes a lot less sense than thinking Jennifer Lopez fuck Puff Daddy for 2 years.
Did that happen?
Yes.
Here we go.
And thus was on nearly every Bad Boy album
yep.
between 1998 and 2000.
Strap in, Scout, because this is going to get amazing.
I thought about that.
Yes. So we're going to be listening to
was
Spanish
Was she on Public
Fly,
Enemy number one?
By Black Rob, my all-time favorite Bad Boy musician. Black Rob, Jennifer Lopez, Spanish Fly, and then if you want, we could find more Ice Cube, but I was just thinking we could talk about Black Rob, because why the fuck not?
Yeah. Sure.
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. Black Rob, a man who brags about going gold on this album that Jennifer Lopez sings on. Imagine an album where Jennifer Lopez is there at the peak of her Jennifer Lopez-ness. Puff Daddy is like on the way back from the club. Let's go have you do a hook for Black Rob. And not even that. Plus, the video for Whoa gets Black Rob. Like,
Scout, have
nudged.
You seen the video for Whoa?
I have not seen
Okay, we're
going
to watch that while after we listen to it.
Okay, perfect. I've also got another Jennifer Lopez video
okay.
that has a reveal for both of you.
Oh, great.
But, yeah, so I'm just thinking we talk about Bad Boy and we jump into it with Spanish Fly from the Black Rob debut album with Jennifer Lopez all over the hook, which then also means we get to talk about Jennifer Lopez as a musician.
That's Does it true. Count as a debut if it's your only album?
The Black Rob Report came out in 2006 and features both Babs and Ness from Making Da Band.
Okay, you're right.
Critical Bafflements.
And the name of it is perfect. The Black Rob Report. Oh, it's beautiful. Okay, all right, we'll be right back.
Keep thinking that you hard, take a look around. I got soldiers stationed up to bring pain. And when it go down, my hoes do the same thing. We all in the same gang, we all willing to bang. Ain't nobody going against the grain, so take aim. Be y'all's evasive, cut all the faces, catch all the cases, it's real. You'd rather bet your life than face me. I mean, I got this rap thing locked with more cake than tasty. Like the fiendish, the title I hold, I won't relinquish. And this type shit you should distinguish. And one phone call and I'll extinguish. I mean this, you seen this? Blue steel, 4-4, the caliber, Excalibur. I'ma destroy my next challenger. B-Bob, high post MC. Quick to spray raid on the Roach MC. So don't be approaching me without the cross and rosary. Who this nigga supposed to be? I blast him in the open beat. Damn, Black, how you do that, dear? Cause we don't care, I'll take him there. Heard the first verse, no doubt shit banging. Verse two, make sure none of y'all left hanging. Got honeys loving this shit too. Boy, I'm with you, long as you know my pants don't fit you. Money can look, understand why he shook. Shit, I'm rich, face all up in the Guinness book. Check, all the records I set, it's major. Check, the cassettes I wreck with flavor. Fuck the occasion, doesn't stay palm cock. Born to an ox, hold shit down like Fort Knox, huh? Man, after I'm unorthodox, but y'all barely understand the shit I deal with the locks. Give me the props, I'm trying to set a mark this year and bring the equipment out to the park this year. Shuck to see how I used to be. I'm looking toward the future, see Black here to stay. It's time y'all got used to me. Pump said Black ain't trying to fit it. Up and down the coast, can't count the spots I did it. Put your bid in. Swing a notice if my name was Teddy Pender. Hot beats and hot rhymes tossed in the blender. I want y'all to feel hardcore, nothing tender. Blessing this mic for as long as I remember. Y'all can't see the rub, you must be stupid. If I owe Sean Combs any money, then I recouped it. I looped it, this fly shit from the bodega. Me and Yogi and Hard Pierre from You Don't Know Me. I dare you to come against me, run against me. Use your gun against me, you finito, finish. I seen Wildcats diminish, fold and fall. Bad boys known the ball, internationally. I'm saying actually I have to be the next cat to go and sell a million records casually. So prepare yourself for the storm. 1999 is on and I'm just getting warm.
Okay, we're coming to the end of Scout's journey here up the Amazon. We just hit him with a lot of like you
that was
before
like
this
a beautiful was, info dump.
Yeah, very different world.
Oh, yeah. I was living in a much safer headspace.
Yeah, we were talking about Sorcerer. We were talking about Anaconda. And now
we are neck deep
You just listened to a Black Rob song featuring Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. And great song.
For the first time ever, saw the Whoa video.
I did see the Whoa video for the first time. I remember the flash of the woman with the grills. Uh-huh. So clearly this must have been on TV somewhere.
You've definitely seen it.
Of course. Yeah. But I had never really paid attention to it. I had never seen the stunt.
So
you've never seen Puff Daddy driving a semi. You didn't know Sean Combs had a CDL.
Down Nostrand Avenue.
So as a filmmaker, what did you see in that scene?
It was beautiful. I mean, you can see it in that somebody who had studied the Hype Williams style. I loved the many women clearly wearing shirts that were blurred out to make them look topless. I thought that was a nice way to save money, to not have to pay people to sign the nudity clause. just pretend.
I hadn't thought about that. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a good way around that stuff.
But we still get sort of titties in the video.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, the illusion of it. That's all anybody matters.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can jerk off if the thing, the screen is blurred.
Yep.
Yeah.
Many times.
Black Rob.
Hometown. Yeah,
Jesus. Good.
Okay, so then you saw this abomination with Will.i.am.
Mr. Will.i.am and Jennifer Lopez.
And, surprise, Mick Jagger's coming
Mick
at you.
Mick fucking Jagger.
It's also, the video is called The, which is an acronym for The Hardest Ever.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why is?
But aren't you the hardest ever after watching Mick Jagger do that for 90 seconds?
Absolutely. Yes. I want to, you know, throw him down on this here couch.
If it doesn't come down in the next 3 hours, I'm going to have to call somebody.
What is happening?
Yeah.
Why is so many boner talk? Why so many boner talk?
Why,
am I John
Boyd? Why
Voight
so many boner? What is boner?
Ashes to ashes.
That's right.
A boner would be perfect, baby Burr.
You can't get rid of this boner, baby Burr. I got an erection.
Human bones. Massive erection.
I don't have a telephone. I can't call a doctor. I can't call a physician. I'm stuck with this erection. I took it too many of the pills. I'm out here in the jungle. I got nothing to think about fucking. It's a panther.
Baby bird.
Possibly snake or baby bird.
It's the babies.
It's the reason I need to get that snake.
Go
I never got his phone
mama.
Number.
Babies.
Showed me a beautiful time in Paraguay City Center.
I'm sorry you have to be here for any of this, Scout. I'm sorry.
No, I was at a Black Sabbath concert. I met a giant snake. They play all the Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath in an entirety for the farewell tour.
I would watch the prequel where him and Danny Trejo and
go
Mateo,
to a Sabbath concert.
And they're
listening
to Sabbath. They're like, hey, we should go kill a fucking snake.
We should go kill a snake.
Yeah, we're going to kill that motherfucking snake.
Okay. I love the vocal style of Ozzy Osbourne.
You've done a great job, an admirable job being here.
Thank you. So
great having you.
Thank you for having me.
We need to get you the fuck out of here so you can go on living your life. What and how can we find you?
I am on Twitter at honors_zombie. I'm on Instagram as honorszombie. I am on Vimeo under Honors Zombie Films. You can find all of my essays, including my Dad Rock series, for which my Anaconda entry was conceived.
Hell yeah.
I write for RogerEbert.com. I write for the Los Angeles Review of Books. I write for Consequence of
Sound.
Yeah,
your Midsummer review on there was fire.
Thank you.
Whenever anybody's like, why don't you like Midsummer? I'm just like, read this.
Read this. Yeah, that's my version of a diss track.
Yeah, yeah. It's good because you resisted the jokey dunking,
yes,
and you actually dissected.
Well,
that sucks because it sucks.
It really sucks. That's the beautiful thing about writing for more academic journals, where your like followers are mostly like college professors, is you can't just like be an asshole about it.
Cool.
You have to actually like back your shit up.
Yep.
But wherever people have money, that's where I'll be next.
Sick.
you can do my Patreon, patreon.com/honorszombie.
Honors_zombie or all one word?
No, for that one, it's just honorszombie. Patreon.com/honorszombie. All kinds of video content there. Some of it exclusive. Every piece I write gets posted there. It's a good way to keep track of everything that I am doing.
Sick.
Yes.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. This was a fucking delight.
Truly a blast.
So much fun.
Yeah.
The best. I have been looking forward to this since the last time.
I'm so
happy we finally did this.
And it won't be this long ever again.
Correct.
We're going to go harder on guests.
Fuck yeah.
We had quite a weird year, so now we're back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think 2020 is going to be pretty good.
It couldn't possibly be worse than 2019.
Exactly.
Don't say that in an election year.
All right. Well, I'm going to knock on wood real fast. That's very true. Also, I turned briefly into Paul F. Tompkins' DC radio voice when I did that. How could it possibly be worse?
Possibly.
Anyway, so.
This is great.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is my favorite place to come hang out.
So thank you
guys for having me.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Scout had to go. So we're talking rap.
Yeah. It's very important that we not forget that Jennifer Lopez was a vibrant member of the rap community for 18 months while having sex with Puff Daddy.
With her husband? Were they ever married? Or were
they were not married.
Just dating. Okay.
Yeah.
And she was in the limo then that night.
Yeah.
That night.
That night.
You know that night. Everybody knows that night. Damn. So we just did a fucking lot of Black Rob.
Yeah. Oh, so much Black Rob.
I love Black Rob. I mean,
he's the greatest.
See, looking at the Whoa video again was amazing.
Yeah.
Scout hadn't seen it, which is awesome. Watching that Will I Am thing was a nightmare.
Oh my God.
Total nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, THE, The Hardest Ever, starring Jennifer Lopez and not Black Rob. I wish Black Rob was in that.
So
Will I Am and Mick Jagger.
Mick fucking Jagger.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot of money went into that video. It's absurd and insane. And
I want to start a Kickstarter where we just pay Charlie Watts to say what he thinks about Mick Jagger doing that.
I actually, I hate that they telegraph that Mick Jagger's going to be in the video in the first scene. When he's
so do I, because I spent two drunk minutes trying to make you guys look in the opposite direction while I worked through that fucking dumb dick Apple fucking remote control trying to search for T period H period E period Will I Am.
Yeah, you really locked us down. You made us put our phone in those things. Like, you locked it down like we're at a Dave Chappelle concert. It was really weird while we were searching for that.
And then the second Scout, whose eyes are on everything always, like, is he texting Mick Jagger?
Yeah, yeah. They telegraph that. Like, why? We don't need to know that Mick Jagger's going to show up later. Come on.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Boots of the Fur or whatever.
Yeah. And then we listen to, well, have we listened to it yet?
I mean, yeah, at this point. Okay. Spanish Fly. Spanish Fly is like all of Life Story is so great. Post Biggie dying, Bad Boy is so underrated as long as it's also like pre-Omarion Bad Boy.
Well, it's a lot of canned strings and horns and like weird symphonic shit that like, It sounds like a bad black metal album.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like they're playing the presets.
Well, it's all John
keyboard.
Williams samples, essentially.
Oh, so
they're like, we want symphonic, cinematic bullshit.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have somebody rap about.
Do you think that was because they wanted to be seen as epic heroes? You know, like, there was an epicness to all of that shit. Like, Hate Me Now was just like this epic, you know? And like, what was it about that time where everybody wanted to be on the level of, like, a god?
I think part of it, and this is going to sound really paranoid, but I think there's a certain degree of Puff Daddy having a savvy understanding of the way sample licensing works. And if you're going to try to be the track masters or whatever, and you're just like, oh, this Shaq Khan song was popular, that's a lot easier of a sample than being like, here's Clyde Stubblefield's drums from an old James Brown, and here is a weird horn loop, and here is a 70s pop song that never took off, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, we'll it makes lifted whole cloth.
Yeah, where as opposed to like Hate Me Now is just like classical music or whatever.
I don't
like,
think it's a sample. I think they like they you know synthesized it. They like,
no
played
no hate
it.
Me, I mean Hate Me. I mean it could be like an interpolation.
Hate Me
or
Now
whatever.
is a song.
But it's, the it's idea of it just being one like a one stop shop of like we pay this guy 5% of the royalties and then we're just gonna slice this up and chop this up.
So it was easier to use some of these epic songs because they're in the public domain.
Like, yeah.
That's an interesting take. It's just weird that colors the like the tone of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they all want. I guess the rappers and their aspirations at the time were like all pretty similar. So it's not like they all were aspiring to be like a hero in a play.
Yeah,
which is what this music sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds like heroes themes.
Yeah,
you know,
and Black Rob is a hero. Fucking don't second guess that shit.
He's really good at robbing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rob, what does he say in the one song? Robbing is a hard job or something? He talks about how
burglary is a tough job.
But like, you know what I mean? It's just weird that like now everybody sounds like they're in like a synthesized reverbed hellhole when they rap. And like back then everybody sounded like they were at the fore of Metallica's S&M.
Yeah.
When they were rapping. You know, like it's just a different like attitudes. Mm-hmm. And like this attitude of the bad boy music was not grimy. It
yeah.
was very aspirational towards, you know, I guess, wealth and you know, the trappings of wealth are classical music, as we saw in Anaconda.
Yeah.
And British accents.
Yeah. yeah. But so it's also interesting where, like, you have Jennifer Lopez, who at this point is now, in Anaconda, she's just an actor.
Yeah.
And then by the time you get to, like, 1999, 2 years later, you have Jennifer Lopez where she is
her career,
a musician
her singing career is blowing
and
up.
She is a Latina musician. Yeah. So, like, she's got that song with Fat Joe and Big Pun, which I didn't realize, but apparently she hosted Saturday Night Live at the time when that single was popping off and was planning to have those guys there, and that's when Big Pun died.
Oh, shit.
So, like, she was basically, like, the license me for, like, a song
wow.
if you want, like, to capture the New York Latin
yeah.
rap crossover audience.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a crazy, weird thing where you look back and now and you're like, there's 50 states in America and there's only like 3 or 4 of them that are even interested in that kind of like Latin crossover.
Yeah. And it's interesting that America's Latin, you know, sweetheart is somebody they've seen in movies and television. Like, that's an important part of it.
Yeah.
It's like, has to be a sanitized Hollywood version of Latin culture for us to be okay with it.
Yeah.
As you see now, where it's like, real Latin culture, no, get that shit out of here.
Yeah,
we don't like that shit.
Yeah.
We gotta see the actual, the Hollywood, we gotta see Made in Manhattan.
Yeah, nobody wants to watch House of Buggin', I say as one of the 10 people that watched House of Buggin'.
Yeah, not me. What's House of Buggin'?
That was John Leguizamo's post,
skits.
In Living Color. It was basically Spanish in Living Color hosted by John Leguizamo.
No, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, even that is like minstrelsy, like the Spanish version.
I mean, I think that there's actually a really good Medium article by this guy David Dennis, who writes a bunch of great like black culture retrospectives. And he was talking about how basically everything about Bamboozled, the Spike Lee movie, is fucking brilliant and prescient, but at the time, people were really turned off by it, and part of the idea was if you thought it was controversial, it's easy to call it minstrelsy, which is why Spike Lee putting a bunch of people from In Living Color in that movie and having them act with nuance and grace and like small degrees of interpretation of what's going on was like a really nice gesture because it made it very clear where Spike laid in that debate.
Yeah.
And I think that's something where like, I don't think that a lot of those Fox shows were minstrelsy. I think it was the opposite where it was sort of more like the Rupert Murdoch son running Raucous Records. Where they were like, we're just trying to make sure we sell shit to every demographic. And at this point, that's such a nascent business opportunity that we're just going to say, hey, why don't we hire a real person to do it and then have a fail son involved in getting checks cashed in the middle? And then at some point, if it becomes a big enough business, then we can do it as cynically as we do everything else.
And that's what I'm saying is that I think the people making the shit is not minstrelsy at all. It's the people pulling the strings. It's like, I think that by nature is like, hey, like, do a Latin thing. That is minstrelsy. I think that's what it is. Like, hey, get up there and do a Latin thing, you Latin person, you. And like, and I think the people making the shit, like, the creators did as much as they could within that system.
Okay.
But the people holding the keys to their viewership were the ones who were like, we'll let you do as much as until we decide it's you know, there's like, there's that control, the overlord over all that shit.
Yeah. And like, then if you go back and look at the life story credits, like probably the biggest non Puff Daddy guest appearance is in hindsight Jennifer Lopez, which is crazy.
Yeah, that is nuts.
And that song still slaps.
It's so good. I forgot how many times I've heard it.
Yeah.
Like that song is like, it's not just a like a oddity from an album. It's like a song that you hear.
Yeah.
Even still in New York City.
Yeah.
It's still on.
Yeah, if you're just like walking around
right
125th
now.
Street,
yeah.
There's a car driving around listening to that Black Rob song.
High on the car charts.
Yeah, it's like that and 100% by Big Pun, alternating.
And on the, it's on the Bodega charts also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Strong. Very strong.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm glad you took it to a J-Lo part direction, because I didn't even think about that. I was like, oh, yeah, how are we going to talk about Ice Cube again? I'm not even going to bother.
Yeah.
Not even going to bother. I did one Google search. It was Ice Cube and Neil Peart. Did they ever collab? Because Neil Peart just died.
Like if Ice Cube was also profiled in Reason magazine or whatever.
Like, hey, maybe like they've relics. Like they maybe they did something. I don't know. Yeah. No, never happened.
No, the second I saw J-Lo, I was like, thank God, because we have to save whatever weird fringe Ice Cube shit I have in the vault for whenever we do another Ice Cube movie, and
are we there
nothing
yet,
else.
Or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So many Ice Cube movies. Oh my God.
So why not talk about J-Lo's involvement in rap?
Yes.
Like, she rapped. She worked with G-Dep. She worked with Nas. She worked with the Trackmasters. Like, before J-Lo was able to like then shed all of those people because she's a cynical careerist and marry Mark Anthony and then just do exclusively Latin shit. And then whenever they broke up, then go into top 40 again.
Yeah, I think she's doing great. I trust her on every move she makes. Good, good
she seems
her.
To be making her money.
We're going to watch Hustlers with Abby.
The fact of the matter is we've seen that picture of A-Rod taking a dump in his apartment, and we haven't seen a picture of J-Lo taking a dump in her apartment.
Yeah,
so I think she, I think she's transcended.
Fucking A-Rod.
Yeah. But speaking of that kind of transcending, then you get to the second Black Rob song that we're going to close out with, Permanent Scars.
Yes.
Which, is sort of emblematic of what happens if you are the musician that is just there for the Jennifer Lopez cameo.
Yep.
And then once Jennifer Lopez isn't returning your calls, you still have a career.
You make a song called Permanent Scars.
Yeah. It's literally Black Rob went gold, then ran out of money, then kept robbing people, then went to jail, then got out of jail. And then Diddy has done so many bad things as a human. I personally am the biggest Diddy defender musically.
Same.
But Diddy as a human is a lot closer to fucking Suge Knight than a lot of people acknowledge.
Yeah, he's just better at branding.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, that man has blood on his hands. There's a lot of people. Like, G-Dep literally killed a guy and then felt so bad about it that he apologized for and is now currently in prison.
Amazing.
And, like, just in the wave of Biggie gets killed under mysterious circumstances, there's just product to release. And Diddy's like, well, got to keep this fucking train
fucking
moving.
Product.
Starts hiring other people. And then, like, you're just essentially using people as like transient fucking labor. So when Black Rob gets out of prison, he was done so dirty Puff Daddy felt bad. Think about that.
Yeah, that's insane.
The only person Puff Daddy has ever felt he wronged was Black Rob.
That's really crazy, actually.
So then there's that second Black Rob album in 2006, which is also fucking a complete banger. I love it. Maybe the most underrated rap album of the last 20
What's
years.
What's it called?
The BR Report.
Amazing.
Oh, maybe it's called the Black Rob Report. Yeah. Maybe it's called the BR Report, but it's one of those two
What
things.
Was the actual Rob Report?
No idea.
There was a name. It was like it was a document that was leaked, the Rob Report or something. We'll figure it out. Yeah.
But so he has this fucking album that comes out again, and in the lead up to it, Black Rob, the most cursed man who just is a top five storytelling rapper of all time, he does everything he can with Life's Story to go gold. Like Woe is a fluke hit, but it doesn't really showcase the way he raps. The title track showcases the way he raps.
Oh, it's a luxury lifestyle magazine from 1976.
Interesting.
It's about cars and planes and shit. Okay, anyway, sorry.
So he essentially gets out, releases another album. At this point, he's got, like, kidney disease, all sorts of other fucked up shit. And Puff Daddy is like, we're going to put you on again. But, like, does it in, like, a really smart, like, the way Koch Records worked in 2006, where you're just like, no, we're, like, all the beats were made by, like, Scram Jones or whatever, which is super cool, because Scram Jones made Slappers in 2006. As a man that's listened to the No, No, No by J. Mills beat
maybe
a million
more
times.
Than anybody in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, maybe more than anyone in the world that didn't live in Harlem in 2003. But as far as horseshit internet white people that have no credibility and hopefully will be someday replaced by actual people of color,
that talk about rap the same way, but don't have historical crimes committed by their ancestors. But no, so he fucking goes to promote this incredible album, and the first song is Permanent Scars, which we're going to close out with, and it starts to gain traction on all the like late night 2 a.m. funk flex shit, at which point then Heavy D, rest in power, realizes, oh, I also accidentally gave this identical beat to Beanie Siegel, who also is getting out of prison and is more important in
the rock
was circles.
Taken over. So, like, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fucked. So, instead, you just have...
So nuts.
Permanent Scars has the same beat as fucking Feel It in the Air by Beanie Siegel, but instead, the only place it's heard is people on Hip Hop Cartel and HHFX trading fucking, like, weird You Send It rips of MP3s that are all ripped off, like, New York rap radio.
And this is really good.
Yeah.
This is a really good song.
Bonkers. Yeah. It's completely bonkers.
He's rapping. It's great. And I mean rapping. You know what I mean by rapping.
Yeah.
He's rapping.
Now he's on like Duck Down, which is where all these people should go.
That's cool.
But I don't actually know if he's on Duck Down anymore. It could be he was on Duck Down in 2015. Jesus. Did like a one-off. Like, I don't know. I hope Black Rob is okay.
Me too.
Is the point. Because Black Rob is an underrated rapper, and most New York rap people are not... Even New York rap people, they believe in the familiarity of what they like and what they grew up around. But they're not like, you know what? It's really important that we all listen to, like, the GDAP album.
Yeah.
And think about, like, how much Child of the Ghetto was actually, like, a fucking insane album. Instead, they're just like, no, I'd rather listen to my 10 songs over and over instead of acknowledging that, like, New Orleans also put out great rap.
No.
So,
no.
Yeah. Fucking Black Rob is super important, and we talked about snakes for 2 hours, and it's very important that if we're going to table rap talk for as long as we did today, maybe longer than any episode we've ever done.
You were very upset about that.
I don't know. I wasn't upset by it. I think it was really useful, and I think it was super cool to shoot the shit with somebody that knows movies as well as Scout does, and Anaconda's super great. But we do a movie rap podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, any fucking dickhead can talk about Anaconda and Deep Blue Sea and all these other movies that we occasionally get into as just, these are movies that have a rapper in them. Yeah. If Ice Cube, especially Ice Cube, who didn't have that strong of a role in it, is going to be the reason we get into this, I think it makes a lot of sense to be like, also, Black Rob should be on the fucking 20 if Harriet Tubman says no.
And that's why you're here, and I'm glad we did it. I'm glad it went this direction, and it worked out this way.
Yes. I wish Scout was here for this part, because he was on board during the watching of these things.
Great. Yeah.
But also, yeah, just fucking Black Rob. If there's a man that deserves a Patreon where everyone's just like, fuck, I'm super chopped at 2 in the morning. I'm going to send Black Rob $8 or whatever.
Yes, find his Cash App.
Yeah.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah, Black Rob, like no joke, 90s rappers should be like sex workers, where they just have a way where you kick them 75 cents for doing all the things they've done.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we need a much better retirement program.
Yeah.
Like wrestlers. All right. Before this becomes a wrestling podcast, that's it. What do we do?
Bree Max B. And Black Rob of 15 Years Later.
There we go. And Black Rob. Bye.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is how we do it for the 2K3. Now, they call me Banco Popular.
All right.
And I do it right here every Thursday and Friday night at the Sugar Shack Lounge in Harlem.
All right. Let them know.
That's right, baby. BR reporting live from the east side. Notice this backdrop is project buildings. My, why is we all subject to poverty? Made the best out of bad situation.
Uh-huh.
I gotta be the last of a dying breed. No denying me. I fought and lost some. I'm just trying to be thankful. A nigga still here in this world. The bullshit I went through with my moms and my girl. Parole bugging. I'm trying to be cakey. Called the PO. Like, man, fuck it. Violate me, y'all. I'm on the run now. Ask a few niggas in the Bronx who to come to if you want a gun. But fam, I did it all with different schools of niggas. Late night, back hallway, smoking wools with niggas. Burglary's a tough job, especially when I knew them bitch niggas on the block was on some fuck raw. Fuck you too. Hey, hey, come on, B, y'all. It ain't all about that, baby. This is my man, a round of applause. He came all over y'all here from New York City.
He all right.
Yeah. Somebody get this girl right here a drink. She like she's starving for a drink, baby. Fam, you talk kinda loud, but I ain't nervous. I work hard for everything I own, and I deserve this. The hardest thing right about now, staying alive. Who'd have thought Diddy would part ways with Clive? Nah, Rob. Enough fanfare, album release at the Wiz. Enough fans there. I'm seeing what publicity does. Yo, this ain't a joke, fam. Niggas was there, they seen the love. My aunt ain't see him. Moms ain't see him. That's what I'm saying about fam. They ain't there when you need them. But I'ma shake hands and greet them. We still blood, push come to shove. They know black gon' feed them. I'm on the road again, in that mode again. Worse than a motherfucker trying to go gold again. I came up with the older men. Nowadays I find myself in the street living by the cold again. Damn. Yeah, black, it's nothing. We all go through our changes. Don't y'all agree? We gonna get back to live action. We gonna give a big shout to everybody that came out, man, you know. Support the finest, keep us production, everything going on here tonight. Black, hit us with another verse, man. Now I can truly say I learned a lesson. Look at my life now, compared to my adolescence. A lot of shit's changed, we living it up. Non-stop, state to state, messed around and fucked my kidney up. Could've killed me. Man, the grass is cut now. I see how motherfuckers really feel, B. I'm laid up in the hospital. Label is kinda quiet. People is playing, I pulled through. Fuck the bitch on 14th Street, trying to creep with that snake calf in the block and that bullshit Jeep. Love, I seen you. Why ain't the same nigga like me? And you thinking he gon' queen you? I ain't forget Duke thinking it's sweet. Don't sleep, you being watched in the club in the street. Watch. Niggas gon' force my hand. Ask me, am I the man? And I'ma say, of course I am.
Let's go.
Yeah, Black, you the man. You the man, man. Thanks for coming through with them three fly verses. You know what I'm saying? Big shout to everybody that came out, support what we do. Every Thursday and Friday night here at the Sugar Shack Lounge. You know what I'm saying? It's going down. Make sure y'all be here next week. Same time, same bat channel, same Sugar Shack label. I mean, oh man. My name Banco Popular, man. I'm signing off out of this motherfucker, man. You know what I'm saying? Somebody get me a drink. Somebody get me a joint. I want a loose joint or something to smoke tonight with my baby. Where's my lady at?
Right here, baby.
Okay. We won't get up out of here. We want to say peace to the whole Bad Boy Entertainment alumni. This is going down, man. Goddamn, we love what's going on. It's crazy. Bop, bop.
Oh, shit, they shoot.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.